From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Korva Coleman, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Korva. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Korva. Thank you, everybody. We got a great show for you today. Louis Black, the angriest comedian in the world, will be with us. And we are going to poke him with a stick. It is a special high-tech Olympics edition of the show today. That means we'll be stopping the competition every 5 minutes to give you heartwarming stories about our contestants' triumphs over adversity. So if you've got somebody back at home, maybe a little stepbrother named Timmy with a serious but cheerful disease, give us a call. Number's 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Sherry from Kennebunk, Maine.
Kennebunk, Maine?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Would that be close to Kennebunk Port, Maine?
It is.
And so do you see the bushes going by on their speedboats?
No, but we hear the helicopters going overhead when he lands at the airport that's a few miles from our house.
Oh, really? Are they good neighbors, the Bush clan?
I prefer not to answer that question. All right.
On advice of counsel, no doubt. All right, then. Well, Sherry, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher and the author of the novel Schrodinger's Ball, Mr. Adam Felber.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm just fine, thanks.
Also, say hello to a deputy editor of the Houston Chronicle and blogger therein, Ms. Kiri O'Connor.
Hi, Kiri.
Hi, Sherry.
And finally, it's a TV personality and the proprietor of the website MoRocca180.com, Mr. Mo Rocca.
Hi, Mo.
Hi, Sherry.
Ready to play?
I am.
Okay, this week you are going to start us off with a game of Who's Korva This Time? This is, of course, the game where Korva will recreate three quotes in the week's news. Your job, identify or explain them. This week, all of your quotes are coming from the Olympics.
Okay.
The quadrennial event in which Americans start watching sports that they never care about, unless there's a chance that a victory in it can momentarily relieve our growing sense of national impotence. We're going to start you off with two quotes. That actually is the Olympic slogan. Do you know that?
It's not a good
relieving
slogan.
Relieving our national sense of impotence.
Yeah. I think the team could have picked something a little more upbeat.
We start you off with two quotes from Olympic swimmers. First, let's hear from a member of the Russian team.
He is just another person, but maybe from a different planet.
And in a contrary opinion, here's a member of the British swim squad.
He is not from another planet. He's from the future.
So what swimmer is either from another planet or the future or maybe a future planet or maybe he's a cyborg?
That's Michael Phelps.
It is Michael Phelps. There are more than 10,000 athletes competing at the Beijing Olympics. It's not just Michael Phelps and a handful of half-naked extras. Halfway through the games, Phelps is already the most decorated Olympian ever, with more lifetime gold medals than anybody else. He is on track to break Mark Spitz's record of most golds at a single Olympics. Weirdly, the one event he looked like he was going to lose, a relay race, was won by a superhuman effort by his teammate. I don't remember his name. Who cares? Because look, there's Phelps waving his arms about in jubilant celebration. Experts say that Phelps has a number of advantages over his competition, including a long torso, short legs, really big feet. Seriously, that's part of his arsenal. And the fact that the devil has agreed not to come and take his soul until after the closing ceremony.
I'm not sure that he's actually human. They keep talking about his wingspan.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, for getting through water, hollow bones would be very helpful.
It's true.
That's true, yes.
Kind of large
actually,
nose.
Here's the thing. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. People
Beijing
are like, oh, yeah,
dirty.
Michael Phelps. And then the story came out about how much the guy eats.
He eats a lot. Yes.
Oh, 12,000 calories a day.
And all of a sudden, everybody's like, I want to be like Mike. Yeah. Actually, people are saying, I already am like Mike.
Right. No problem. We don't have an obesity crisis. We have a swimming crisis in America.
We're not swimming enough.
It's exactly. A failure to swim.
Yeah, do 10 laps and get a blooming onion. That's the answer.
All right, Sherry, here is your next Olympic quote.
Okay.
But most of the audience thought it was filmed live, so that was mission accomplished.
That was Gao Xiaolong, a Chinese computer genius who was responsible for making sure that a particular event looked even better on TV than it did to the people actually watching it. What event?
I have no idea.
Well, it was quite the spectacle. It was, in fact, the biggest spectacle of...
Oh, the opening ceremony?
The opening ceremonies, yes. Many people watched this on TV, and if you did, you remember that great moment when exploding fireworks took the shape of giant footprints striding across the sky from Tiananmen to the stadium? Turns out they weren't actually there. They were a computerized, broadcast-only special effect that took a year to create. As you heard, the designer thought the CGI footprints up there were a smashing success. It was much better than their first idea, which was to have Jar Jar Binks light the Olympic torch.
Oh, the poor British. I feel so badly for the people in London watching, going, oh my God, how are we going to top this in 2012?
Yeah. Yeah.
They should definitely have their opening ceremonies manufactured in China.
Now, the fireworks, of course, were not the only thing that had been faked at these Olympics. It's also true that the little girl who sang the official Olympic anthem in the ceremonies was, in fact, lip-syncing because the real singer was determined by Chinese authorities to be insufficiently cute. So they swapped her out for a better model. And then, of course, came the most shocking revelation. It turns out that Chinese national hero basketball player Yao Ming is actually two guys, one standing in the other's shoulders, wearing a Yao Ming suit.
Yeah. Why in 100 years of modern Olympics, 100 years plus of modern Olympics, has nobody made up a country in that parade of nations?
Just to see who noticed?
Every time I see that, you know, there's always one country that I haven't heard of, and I'm like, that would be one of the funniest things that you could ever possibly do, is make up a country and a flag and put like 9 Olympians
totally.
In there and just have them be there in the parade. And they haven't done them yet.
Well, we could do it ourselves. We could be wait a stand.
Wait a stand. Sure.
What would our sports be?
Oh, jeez. Bruising.
Yes. The 50-meter bruise.
Yes.
I won the Charlie horse.
Sherry, here's your last Olympic quote. It's from women's beach volleyball champion, Misty May Trainer.
Mr. President, want to?
So... Misty May was inviting President Bush to do what?
Gosh, I hope it's play volleyball.
Not quite, actually. This is a very typical gesture among athletes. You see it a lot in football, baseball, and yes, beach volleyball.
High five?
More of a low gesture. Of a high five, but lower.
Slap her on the butt?
Yes, yes! Slap her on the butt.
Oh, no. Oh, heavens.
It is a tradition among female beach volleyball players, or so I have deduced from my casual watching of hundreds of hours of competition, that they slap each other's behinds.
No, wait a minute. That's the Americans. The Europeans kiss both cheeks.
Exactly. Ah. Ah. Terrible.
Oh.
Anyway, they do this. They slap each other's behinds as they go into combat. So Misty May Trainer offered her bikinied behind to the leader of the free world and invited him to work his will on her axis of evil. And the president, perhaps realizing what kind of photo that would make, or perhaps remembering the uproar that followed when he did it to Angela Merkel at the 2006 G8 summit, well, he declined. Instead, he placed his hand awkwardly on her lower back. It's still a nifty picture, though. You can see it on the internet. Korva, how did Sherry do in our quiz?
Well, Sherry got all three questions right, Peter, so she's going to win our prize, Carl Castle's voice on her answering machine.
Well done, Sherry.
¶¶